Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. You say it's been a remarkable week in Washington, D.C. would be an understatement. We've witnessed the inauguration of the 47th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Scott, he got down to work real quick this time around, a flurry of executive orders. I know you've been charting the impact of those. Want to talk a bit about that?
Well, it's certainly been an exciting time in Washington as we had our Republican Congress and the House and Senate sworn in on January 3rd, and we've had some hearings on some of the important cabinet nominations. Marco Rubio, my former boss, got confirmed 99-0 to be Secretary of State. But on day one, President Trump signed numerous executive orders, really fulfilling a lot of the campaign promises that he's been talking about for months. And it really should not surprise people, but it's a big, big contrast to the vision of woke DEI alphabet soup sort of policies that the Biden administration was putting forward. Right at the beginning, Donald Trump issued executive orders doing things like designating the cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. He was ending DEI hiring practices in the federal government. He was reinstating the name of Mount McKinley and renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. You know, we saw a lot of these pardons related to January 6th rioters. About 1,500 people were pardoned on day one. That was a big campaign promise. Still, I think six people that President Trump said he's continuing to research and make a determination on their status. We also saw some big executive orders declaring a national emergency related to the southern border, making sure that there's accountability for career senior executives, doing things like promoting beautiful federal civic architecture, right? Trump is tired of these office buildings that look like, you know, corporate boondoggles, and he wants to bring back beauty and architecture. It's kind of funny because that's right into his personality. We also saw him take steps to revoke birthright citizenship for people that are not U.S. citizens and are born in the United States. We also saw him really take a lot of things related to energy and natural resources to help combat the Bidenflation that has really been borne by our energy crisis and independence in America. He's also making sure that we're putting the military down on the U.S. border. We've got big things like revoking security clearances for certain people that might not deserve it anymore. I think one big name was John Bolton. President Trump has withdrawn the United States from the World Health Organization. He delayed that TikTok ban by 75 days. A lot of young listeners out there, I think they're pretty excited about that because there's certainly an appetite for that social media. President Trump also backed the United States out of these big environmental agreements like the Paris Accord. He's trying to deliver emergency price relief to the American people, confronting higher costs when it comes to housing and increasing housing affordability and making sure that we have a bigger housing supply, eliminate administrative expenses and rent-seeking practices that increase healthcare costs. He's doing all sorts of things here that are going to really increase our ability to buy food and fuel. A big thing that has sort of sent shockwaves throughout Washington, Lowman, is that he has got an executive order issuing a hiring freeze on federal civilian employees. Of course, this doesn't apply to positions of national security and our military, but it will cause an overall reduction in the federal workforce through attrition, because you're also going to see a lot of Democrats that just have no interest in working for President Trump. And so we're going to see some of those positions go away. This is all, I think, a pretty good thing. We want to see a direct impact as, you know, there's sort of like a, I don't want to say a gridlock on Capitol Hill, but a prolonged negotiation when it comes to the reconciliation package and the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act extension, the Trump tax cuts from 2017. And then also, I think Trump is going to try to really beef up our border security through increased spending on the wall and agents and security and surveillance down there. One other thing that Trump did that's of note is a withdrawal from the OECD global tax deal. That deal forced a minimum 15% global tax rate, which ultimately hurts U.S. competitiveness and decreases growth. You might remember a specific provision from the 2017 tax cut was that we were going to institute a territorial tax system. So that basically means there's not going to be a double tax of an American corporate tax and, you know, a country, let's just say it's Germany's minimum tax. But Biden wanted to do that, right? And ultimately, that's going to cause higher prices for U.S. consumers. So watching Trump do a withdrawal from the OECD global minimum tax deal, that's a good thing that we're excited about. President Trump gave a remote speech to Davos, world leaders coming in there. I know that he's had a lot of direct conversations, too. We saw the prime minister of Italy. We saw Javier Milei from Argentina. There are other senior diplomats that attended from, you know, places even like China. Trump has put out a statement directly to Vladimir Putin about ending the Ukraine war. There is a lot of action happening immediately. But one of the big hangups, I think, on Capitol Hill is the Democrats blocking many of the nominations that President Trump has made to his cabinet.
Taking a look at those blocks to cabinet nominees here, Scott, is that really a sound strategy? Because you might slow them down, but ultimately, Republicans control the chamber, so the confirmations are going to occur. So why just be obstructionist?
It's a good question. I do think that they want to exhaust the clock of the United States Senate floor. Floor time is really known as a precious commodity, and it's what ultimately pushes a lot of negotiations and trade-offs in the United States Senate. We, on Barack Obama's first day in 2009, confirmed 7 cabinet nominations. And we're seeing them try to slow down the Pete Hegseth nomination to this weekend. We're seeing additional fake news and disputed reports about his previous behavior coming back out to light by, you know, folks at NBC News and the legacy media that are trying to work hand in glove with the Democrats to block the Trump agenda, to block radical change at the Pentagon and elsewhere. And I think that people need to recognize Trump did win with an electoral mandate. He won the popular vote. And that was to change away from this radical progressivism that Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats really forced upon people like Joe Biden, who really was clueless on what was happening underneath him. So I do think that, you know, most of those Trump nominees are ultimately going to be confirmed. We have 53 seats in the United States Senate for Republicans. John Fetterman from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has indicated that he plans to support some of the Trump nominations as well. And then, of course, we have Vice President J.D. Vance that can potentially cast a tie-breaking vote if 3 Republicans happened to oppose one of the Trump nominees.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
The club is based out of Washington, D.C. We have over 525,000 members. And if you want to check us out at clubforgrowth.org, you can actually sign up and become a member for free. Also, follow us on X at Club for Growth.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you much. We'll check in with you next week.
You are welcome.